This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Brought to you by
Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Well, here we are, February already. Where the hell did January go to? Anyway, things coming up. On the 17th, there's a solar eclipse, and Pam's going to tell us all about it.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the second half of February and the solar eclipse, which we have coming up in Aquarius on the 17th of February. Now, I'm actually putting this out probably about a week early, and I'm doing that because the astrology is very big. You can probably sense it in the energy. And also, we are already entering the eclipse energy at this point. Also, I'm recording this on the 25th of January. Tomorrow, the 26th, Neptune enters Aries fully, where it will stay until 2039. So it will not be back in Pisces again in your whole lifetime, because it's got an orbit of 165 years. So this is a big deal. And you might remember that from end of March till end of October last year, Neptune had dipped into Aries. So as I've mentioned in a few recent videos, you might have got a sampler, a taste, a rehearsal of what was coming for you this time, because as you all probably know, Saturn and Neptune are coming into a conjunction exactly at 0 degrees, 44 minutes of Aries on the 20th of February, just 3 days after the eclipse I'm going to be talking about. But I'm going to be adding a lot, obviously, to Neptune and Aries as we go forward from this point on, because really, it's such a massive long-term transit. And in a way, you can think of it moving out of Pisces, which was really about, one of the themes was globalism, actually, the dissolution of national boundaries and globalism. And it's been an interesting week last week in terms of what's been developing on that theme. Need I say more? And so Neptune moving into Aries, just in brief, is about a new spiritual identity. Did you get any sense of that through kind of April to October last year? What was happening for you? Being your own spiritual leader. It's about spiritual activism, because Aries is, the keywords are I am. It's a strong, clear sense of identity. And Neptune is bringing the spiritual into that too. I have a new sense of spiritual identity, or there's an initiation for me with my spiritual identity. So think what that was. For me, I happened to do a week of a real kind of my first stepping into shamanism, which I absolutely loved. And so I'm committing fully to that training in starting April this year. So that's just as a personal example of what was the rehearsal, what was the taster, and what I'm entering into very fully and intensely this year. So also know that, and I mentioned this in the video with Ann Tucker and the recent update video, I think, that when Neptune moves into Aries on a mundane level, whenever Neptune has been in fire signs, for instance, it was in Leo during the 1920s, you had the Roaring Twenties, we had a lot of inflation then. It was also in Sagittarius, another fire sign, in the 1970s, and we had a lot of inflation then. And moving into Aries, another fire sign, we could see a lot of inflation happening that could devalue fiat currencies, obviously, and it could help to strengthen commodities. We've seen remarkable acceleration in commodity values recently. And it may also have an effect on oil because Neptune is connected to oil. And there may be a slight dampening effect on that inflation while Saturn is conjunct Neptune until early April, but Saturn starts to move off quite quickly. So just be aware of that. And that may condition, you know, how you go forward in terms of any financial interest as well. But we have a lot, I mean, you can feel it in the energy. We have a lot of electromagnetic volatility. There are anomalies appearing in the Schumann resonance, which is the heartbeat of the Earth. And the brilliant geophysicist Stephen Burns did a whole video on this recently, that those anomalies, which he couldn't explain, in the Schumann resonance. So we have a lot of extreme weather happening right now. Some of it natural, some of it unnatural. We've had extreme weather in South Africa. We've had some really horrendous weather in Australia, both fires that have, you know, wiped out a lot of wildlife, and extreme flooding. I've seen not just cars, but houses swept away. I mean, really, it must be very, very hard when you're in that those extreme situations to kind of hold your equilibrium. And the Aquarius energy that we're going in is about the nervous system. And it's very easy to be reactive with this energy. We've got this massive kind of weather bomb happening in America right now. I think it's the East particularly, and also some of the central states. It's affecting, I think, 40 states. Massive snowstorm. So I haven't heard, you know, the reports on that yet, because these sort of early days in that massive snowstorm, but inevitably it could cause more more power outages, more internet cutouts. It could affect aviation. All of these are words connected with Aquarius as well. And, you know, just really think of the people in those circumstances, that, you know, the homeless people, the animals, you know, all of it. And so those of us who are not currently in those extreme weather or extreme earth situations, we have to up our game, increase our effort with compassion to try and help them. So we can't fly there to deliver food aid, you know. So one thing we can all do, which is something I say very often, is to use those daily or evening meditations. I started this idea, 2 years ago, 7 p.m. UK time. You can tune in on your own time zone. The details of that are on my meditation page. I'll put the link for that below. It's all free. You just set a clear intention. This is for my highest good, the highest good of all, the highest good of the earth. Use a mantra, if you can't think of anything better, of we're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. I give some guidance, both in the video where I had the idea, and also I've got 2 free suggested 15-minute meditations on that meditation page that you can use if you like, or just join energetically, because what that's about is putting, and you know, people are doing this all over the world, both in my meditation that I initiated, but many, many other people have initiated this kind of thing. But we really are focusing on all sentient beings, be they human or animal or the forests, that are suffering. And I won't repeat everything I say in those meditations and in the video, but you can check them out, because that, from our own homes, if we're not in that those extreme situations, we really can send love, peace, calmness, compassion, calm down all these extremes. But the because the earth is throwing off millions of years of her own trauma and going through her own rebirth, that's why part of this is natural, I think. But as I say, we're all aware part of it unnatural. So just be aware. And it's part of the kind of crescendo of chaos that we're, you know, the next 3 months at the 3D level are going to be very loud, very turbulent, very chaotic. Now, you don't have to live at that level. You can simply be on your eagle's perch and observe that and help people who are in those situations by staying calm and peaceful and loving. That's the best thing we can do. Our greatest service to the collective is to stay in love, peace, compassion, joy, gratitude, and calm down this very jaggedy, reactive, chaotic, turbulent energy at the lower levels. And the reason we're seeing all that is because the old world is collapsing. And I've been anticipating that for the last 2 years, year and a half, very, very clearly in all the astrology. The old world is collapsing, and it's not going to do it quietly. It's going to do it very loudly, very chaotic. It's going to be shouting. You don't have to engage with that emotionally. In fact, if you do, you'll start to feel your energy being scattered. You'll lose your centeredness. You'll lose your coherence. That's very incoherent energy, because those structures were not born of love. And so they're simply fragmenting. That with this high frequency energy coming in to birth new earth, it is causing that that deconstruction, that fragmentation, that collapse. This is the physics of consciousness, the physics of energy of that old world. Expect that to get louder, expect it to get crazier, and know that's right on time. So I hope this astrology gives you some reassurance as to that. You know, when we move into the Aries energy, which we're going to start to do in March and April, it's going to get even louder. Be prepared. Develop your mastery, and I'll talk about this later. It's not going to surprise you, but develop the mastery of your energy. That's what's going to get you through. This is a mastery lifetime. And we've been through a lot already in the last few years. Many of us have shown great resilience and courage and fortitude to hold the line. Keep holding the line. Keep holding the vision. Now, it's also very interesting that Neptune moving into Aries tomorrow, but the next day on the 27th, we have Mars conjunct Pluto. And you're aware from my last update, we've had a whole series of the personal planets conjuncting Pluto. And Mars conjunct Pluto has a tremendous force to it. It can be brutal, it can be violent, it can be wonderful in your own birth chart for willpower and focus and tenacity, and I'm not giving in, but it can be very combustible on the world stage. It's very interesting. This is happening at 3 degrees of Aquarius. That's exactly where the moon is in the chart for China. China has its ascendant at 5 degrees of Aquarius, its moon at 3 degrees of Aquarius. Now, typically in mundane astrology, the moon represents the people, so the population of China. But also it's quite interesting because the moon is also associated with silver. Jupiter is in Cancer right now. It has been since the middle of last year. Cancer is ruled by the moon. Wherever Jupiter is, expands. We've seen a huge acceleration in the silver price. You're probably very aware of that. I think on Friday, the silver price accelerated by 4.5% in a day. Previously, it's accelerated by as much as 10% in a day. You know, this is pretty unprecedented territory. And so heaven knows tomorrow morning, Monday morning, what will happen when the stock markets open, because we're in a situation where there is virtually no more supply of physical silver. And so that's going to be very interesting. I've mentioned before that the midheaven for the chart for the New York Stock Exchange, which is set for 17th of May, 1792, noon, New York, is at 27 degrees of Taurus. And both the sun and the midheaven are at that degree point in the New York Stock Exchange chart. And of course, that's where Uranus is currently in its transit. And this upcoming solar eclipse I'm going to be talking about in this video squares that sun and midheaven in the New York Stock Exchange chart. So, you know, we're just going into a very big period of volatility on many levels. So what we have to do is not be volatile. We have to be steady, stable, coherent, really strong in our center. And again, I'll come back to that later. But yeah, so we're going to see crescendos in the news narrative for sure. Anything to knock us off that evil's perch. Remember, what you focus on expands. You can be aware but not absorb, as some very clever people have been saying, as a useful saying. So what you focus on expands. If you're focused on it with a kind of, oh my God, that is going to expand that in your reality. And just think about how day-to-day reality works. It's what we're focused on in the media or in the social media we consume. It's our friendship groups. It's the conversations we have with those people, the worldview that you have, the lens you have, your energetic set point. Are you in fear or are you in, yep, it's right on time. I'm noting it all and it's right on time. This all has to collapse. All the old systems have to collapse. And so this isn't a surprise to see what we're seeing right now. And again, it's all about what is your day-to-day reality? What's the social media you are consuming? What are the conversations about that you're having with your friends? Are they optimistic or pessimistic? What is your worldview? What is your lens? Are you excited about all the amazing things we're going to see this year, the new healing technologies, the new opportunities, the new connections you're going to have? You know, it's going to open up. There's a sense of, in the very different energy, the higher dimensional energy, of huge spaciousness, expansiveness, multidimensionality, connection with galactic beings, trees, telepathy with animals. You know, it is so, so exciting and so incredibly different from what's happening in those old world structures. I mean, just, it's night and day. Is that your day-to-day reality? You're excited about connecting with the elemental realm and being telepathic with them, the pixies and the elves and the tree beings. Is that what you're excited about? Because if that's what you're focused on, that will expand for you. What you focus on expands. That's the simplest way to say it. And go back to the conversation I had with Cynthia Sue Larson and Paul Levy recently, just about how this physics of consciousness works for us. Because everything comes from energy, as you well know. And we can't build a higher dimensional world on greed, inequality, and power. That just isn't possible, because those are the old world architecture, if you like. It's the old world values, the old world architecture. We can't do that. So be aware that the 3D will get louder but more hollow, just like the scenery collapsing at the theatre. It's like that game, I think it's called Junker, where you build kind of tower blocks with wooden blocks, and you each have to keep taking a wooden block, but make sure the tower, you know, the tower block with all the wooden blocks in doesn't fall. But eventually somebody takes the critical pivot point wooden block out, and the whole thing collapses. I'm sure you know that game. And we are now in that collapse, the beginning of all of that collapse. So let us now look at the... I just want to remind you as well, it's on the 3rd of February, so I didn't mention this, I don't think, in the last update video. 3rd of February, we'll feel it the whole first week of February, Uranus moves stationary direct. That is a very potent Uranian signature for all the things I've been talking about. Things which are seismic, eruptive, combustible, explosive, cyber attacks, power outages, extreme weather, aviation incidents, accidents, you know, all of those things. It can be politically seismic, it can be financially seismic, all of those things. So that first week, particularly around the third, is very Uranian. The whole month of February is very Uranian, in fact. So, and the eclipse, of course, is in Aquarius, ruled by Uranus. So, as you will know, a solar eclipse is like a big new moon. The sun and moon are always together. So here we see sun and moon together at 28 degrees, 49 minutes of Aquarius, almost at the anaretic degree. And when planets are at the anaretic degree, they tend to express in more extreme ways. So again, we're back to seismic energy, we're back to issues around technology, cyber attacks, power outages, all of those things. Now, this isn't a total solar eclipse, because at the moment the nodes, as you'll see here, are still in Pisces and Virgo. They're still, but they move retrograde, as you know. They won't be entering Aquarius and Leo until July of this year. But nevertheless, this new moon is close enough to the nodes that we have a solar eclipse. It isn't total, it's what's called an annular solar eclipse. And what that means, it comes from the Latin annulus, meaning ring. So we will see a kind of ring of fire of the sun at this solar eclipse. And this is happening, of course, just 3 days before that really historic Saturn-Neptune conjunction, exactly 0 degrees of Aries, 0 degrees, 44 minutes, in fact, of Aries, on the 20th of February. But I don't want to say too much about that at this point. It will, you know, I think this could change borders of countries, because Neptune erodes borders, Saturn. I think it could actually change natural borders. You know, there could be a lot of erosion of coastlines, you know, tsunamis, flooding, that kind of thing. There's been a lot of flooding, as I say, already South Africa, Australia. But let me leave that, because that's a whole whole separate conversation in itself. So see where this falls in your own chart. Remember, this is a new beginning, new moon. So if you have any planets or angles within, I'd say, about 5 degrees of 28 of Aquarius, so recognize if you have planets, say, in early Pisces, for instance, or early Virgo, you will actually be having out of sign conjunctions or oppositions, etc., squares, if it's relevant, with this solar eclipse. I hope you're following there, because 5 degrees added on to 28 of Aquarius takes us into 3 degrees of Pisces. Yes, I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, don't worry. We don't have time to go down that rabbit hole, but eclipses tend to be like wild cards, where things happen fast. And just to remind you, this, of course, is the beginning of the Chinese New Year of the Far Horse, because the Chinese New Year always begins on the second new moon of the year. So here we have it, the second new moon of the year. And if you just think of those words, Far Horse, they have tremendous energy, dynamism, passion. They are wild horses. You know, Far Horses do not like to be curtailed. They are dynamic. They are exhilarating. It's about freedom. Horses love freedom. Big theme with Aquarius, revolution and freedom. The last time we had a fire horse year was in 1966. If you know anything about the 1960s, huge time of protest and revolution, huge, and demands for personal freedom and greater equality. This is very Aquarian energy as well. So the horse does not like to be curtailed. So the fire horse year from this point on until next February 2027 suggests it is going to be wild and unbridled, absolutely, but it also suggests a breaking away from the old that we've now shedded, the wood snake. We've shedded the skin and we are now going into that new beginning, which will emerge even more fully at the Aries equinox on the 20th of March. Brings in the unexpected. That's related to Aquarian energy anyway, but eclipses always do that. It's a north node eclipse because the sun and moon have to be at either the north node end or the south node end of the nodal axis. Here they're closest to the north node, so it's a very futuristic new beginning. We're looking forwards, we're not looking back to the past. That would be a south node eclipse. Sun and moon here are closest to the north node, which is here. They're a long way away from the south node. So again, it's future looking. So if you have this solar eclipse falling on, particularly by conjunction on your sun, your ascendant or your midheaven, this can propel you into prominence in a big way. So now it will appear, because of all the crashing of the scenery, it will appear perhaps at that 3D level that the centralized control is getting stronger. But the direction of travel with Aquarius is, and Pluto is in Aquarius, remember, shift of power to the people, that doesn't come easily. The direction of travel is decentralized, freedom, power moving to the people. But for a period of time, as the scenery collapses and the old order tries to hang on, it will appear that it's stronger because it's louder. You know, new earth birthing is really, really quiet, but it's about kindness, compassion, love. You're never going to hear it on the news. So truth coming to light in a very big way, I think, at this solar eclipse. Truth, we cannot hide from the truth any longer. So aviation may come up here as an issue. That's very linked to Aquarius. And as I say, power outages, cyber attacks, that kind of thing. I do think there could be stock market turbulence in February for sure, that may be around commodities, may be around tech stocks and AI. It's very interesting that in 2008, when we had the financial crisis, the nodes were in Aquarius and Leo. Now, the nodes don't move into Aquarius and Leo until July this year. However, we already have this eclipse, the very first eclipse in Aquarius in its series, if you like, in Aquarius. So there could be some kind of an echo of stock market crash, banking crisis, etc. My understanding is, and I'm not a financial advisor, I'm not even a financial astrologer, that with this growing demand for physical silver, that the banks have taken some orders for that, but can't fulfill them any longer at the price at which the order was accepted. So we'll see what tomorrow morning brings. We'll see what tomorrow morning brings. So set your new intention, because this is a big, big new moon, all the more so because it's happening 3 days before that Saturn-Neptune conjunction on the world axis, the very first degree of the zodiac, pure potentiality. What is your big, new, courageous beginning? What is it? You've probably got some idea about it. It could be spiritual. It could be creative, very creative. What is it? Is it a new location, a new home, a new job, a new relationship? What is it? But have a sense of spiritual context with it. So this is very eruptive, revolutionary energy. Remember that wonderful conversation I had with Rosie Finn, the US astrologer who spent 20 years doing this massive research project, going 4,000 years back, looking at when Pluto went out of bounds to the north and out of bounds to the south. In short, when Pluto goes out of bounds to the north, those were periods of tyranny in history. Luckily for us, last August, Pluto started to move out of bounds to the south, which is where you get more revolutionary energy and the power shifting to the people. So that's another reinforcement of these Aquarian themes. Now, Pluto is technically only going to move out of bounds, i.e. beyond the 23.5 degrees of the ecliptic band where within which planets normally orbit. And if you don't understand that, I'll put the link for that conversation with Rosie Finn below. It's only doing that from August 2025 over the next 10 years to 2035, and it's doing it between August and December each year, technically. But broadly, these whole 10 years are about that increased revolutionary energy, which reinforces the whole thing of Pluto in Aquarius. Remember, Pluto will stay in Aquarius till January 2044. So we are seeing massive revolutions across the world. They were revolutions of youth. Remember, Aquarius is very linked to youth. And that's what brought down the Thai government a few months ago, the Nepalese government, the Bulgarian government very recently. There are huge protests happening in many parts of Europe. France, of course, exceptional, born from revolution. In America today, I've seen huge protests in Minneapolis, for instance. Know that this solar eclipse falls pretty much exactly on the moon of the US chart. The moon of the US chart, that chart for 4th of July, 1776, 10 past 5 in the afternoon, Philadelphia, which I've used for decades, which is very reliable. Their moon, representing the people in the US, is at 27 degrees of Aquarius. So this solar eclipse is really on that 28 of Aquarius. And so the people in America are, America is highlighted in this eclipse for many, many reasons, which I'll go on to. But the people are going to be very, very revolutionary there. I think they are across the world, actually. But as I say, America is very highlighted at this eclipse. This is reinforced, all of this, by the ruler of Aquarius being Uranus, which is square, exactly square to this eclipse. When it's square, that's a challenging aspect. So again, it brings in all this Uranian energy. It's about truth. It's about awakening. When people get truth that they haven't known before, they could get very revolutionary indeed. But it is about awakening. It's about what we have already outgrown. So this also means that the transiting Uranus is also square to the US moon, the people, the revolutionary people in America. I think those demands for freedom and the end of tyranny across the world will get louder and louder. And again, that's right on time, because Neptune literally will have moved just very recently into zero of Aries. So this is smack on the world axis, the Aries point. This could bring up also at this time issues around water, oil, the media, drugs of all kinds, pharmaceutical drugs, any deception or lies or illusion that we've lived through. Aquarian and Uranian energy breaks through that. This is about pure, the sword of truth. The sword of truth that we suddenly, it's like a shock where we suddenly see things from a higher level of being. And how could we have believed all that? You know, we were in a dream, we were in an illusion. Saturn Neptune is about getting real about that previous dream or illusion. It's about disillusionment, actually. That Saturn-Neptune conjunction can be about disillusionment in terms of what we believed before. But this has much greater sense of clarity. We have the sun and moon, the solar eclipse, in a sesquiquadrate here, 235 degrees to Jupiter, Jupiter is exalted in Cancer. It's at its exalted degree. And it's also conjunct Sirius, our spiritual star. There's a lot of spiritual context to all of our lives going forward from this point on. It will stay, actually, at that point until early April. It's very much bringing up the need for self-care and nurturing. Our nervous systems can get very jazzed up with all the Aquarian energy square to Uranus. It's kind of too much input, too much information. We can feel very overloaded. And Aquarius is very linked to our nervous system. So that's why we have to make extra efforts to drop into our breath, drop into stillness, drop into silence. You know, even 3 or 4 times a day, make sure, you know, set an alarm or put a note on your calendar that those are the times you literally just shut your eyes and just drop into your breath and make your breath slower for 10 breaths. That's it. And just feel as you come out of that, whether you feel slightly more coherent, slightly more balanced. You can do the yogic belly breath. That's free on the meditation page of my website, where I explain it. And then there's also an MP3 that you can download with some wave sounds, some sea sounds behind it. That is magnificent for taking you out of this jazzy overload on the nervous system in coherence. Whoomph, just taking you back to coherence. So all for free. Jupiter is also conjunct the sun in that US chart, 4th of July, 1776, 10 past 5 in the afternoon, Philadelphia. The sun in that chart rules the ninth house of foreign relations. So not only is this solar eclipse conjunct the moon in that chart, but Jupiter is conjunct the sun. And, you know, just remember, the US was born in revolution, wasn't it? It was rebelling against, you know, the onerous taxes of King George. And of course, that, you know, Pluto in that US chart is in Capricorn. It's all about taxes, debt, default. There is, you know, I can't even quote the figures of global debt at the moment, which of course is propelling a lot of the collapse we're going to be seeing. But, you know, remember that this was the land of the free. America was the land of the free, the Statue of Liberty. And this solar eclipse is reigniting that impulse. If we set this eclipse for Washington, D.C., and astrologers, you can easily do that, it is exactly coming up on the ascendant, the 9 o'clock position, 9 a.m. The ascendant set at Washington, D.C. So that is throwing, you know, there's so many things that are throwing America into high relief at that solar eclipse. Not only that, but this solar eclipse is exactly across the ascendant-descendant axis of the US president. The US president has his ascendant at 28-29 of Leo. So this is actually falling on his descendant. The ascendant-descendant axis is the health axis. Leo is to do with the heart, and Aquarius is to do with your circulation. So in many, many ways, America is being very, very highlighted right now. I mean, it has been in the last week, but this is, you know, this is going to be very big as well. If we're looking at other geographies, it's very interesting that this solar eclipse is angular on the midheaven, running straight through France. On the midheaven means the leadership or the government. I think the political current structure is hanging on a thread. I mean, how many prime ministers have they had in the last 2 years? Something like 6 or 7, or, you know, I've just completely lost track. The French president has transiting Neptune square his sun right now. His sun, from memory, is at 29 of Sagittarius. Neptune, up until tomorrow, it has been at 29 of Pisces square his sun. So there's a lot of political weakness in France, in many countries in Europe, actually, but it's just very highlighted at this solar eclipse. So at this solar eclipse, it is angular, highlighting the government and the leadership through France. It's also angular running through Greenland. Remember that at the full moon that we've just about to go through, I mentioned in the last update that Uranus is conjunct the midheaven, the government, the leadership, the ownership, whichever way you want to play it, running through Greenland. But again, it's highlighted at this solar eclipse. So, you know, it's very interesting because the eclipse path, if you look at the eclipse path, that is covering Antarctica and also just the tip of South America and South Africa. But it's principally focusing on Antarctica. Whereas Greenland is one of the geographies that's being highlighted at this solar eclipse. And I think it's both Greenland and Antarctica are very interesting areas energetically and, you know, possibly even dimensionally. Other geographies which are highlighted at this solar eclipse, as well as the US and France, are China, Russia, and West Africa. Uranus at this solar eclipse is conjunct the IC, the base of the chart, the land running through Mexico, and again, the US. If we look at the chart for Israel, the Mars of Israel is at 28 of Leo. The prime minister, I think it's the prime minister, isn't he, of Israel, has his Mars also at 27 of Leo. So the solar eclipse is opposing both the Mars of the prime minister and the country's chart itself. So an enormous amount, I think, potentially happening on the world stage. The other thing, just to pick up on this chart before we leave it, is very beautifully, very, very positively and beautifully, Venus, which is very, very happy in Pisces, exalted in Pisces, is conjunct the North Node. So whatever is birthing at this solar eclipse, new moon, new seed, new beginning, is being birthed with love. And also the sacred feminine. Venus is trine here, and the North Node is also trine to Jupiter. And so that is expanding. You know, the mantra I use for our meditations is we're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. That's what this aspect is about. We're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. And it reminds us to really drop into our hearts, to birth this whole new era. And this isn't just for, you know, a week, a month, a year. We're birthing a new era. We're birthing a whole new paradigm, a whole new dimension for humanity. That's what we're really doing here at this solar eclipse. Really know the magnitude of the times we're stepping in. And we are the co-creators. We're not just passive observers and recipients of, you know, the things that kind of hit us from the news cycle. We are stepping into our sovereignty, Aries, our new spiritual sovereignty. Really get a sense of that. And we are co-creating all of this astrological energy, all of it. We are helping to play the music most magnificently. So really step into that. Don't just sit back and receive the news. You know, realize that you are an equal partner in how this music is played going forwards. And really think about birthing it with love. So I'm going to stop sharing here. And just a couple of other things I want to pick up in this second half of February is on the 27th of February, Mars squares Uranus. And so this, again, this is a very eruptive, explosive truth awakening shock surprise. Could again be linked to aviation incidents, disruptions, seismic in every sense, earthquakes, volcanoes, political, financial, combustible, exciting new developments. I think they're going to be huge new developments, innovations in technology, absolutely guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. The last time we had similar cycles to this, we had the beginning of the, you know, the birth of the iPhone with Apple. You know, that kind of smart technology, but there are going to be new healing technologies, new healing solutions that I think are going to be amazing. And it's going to go quickly. And you have to use your discernment. And please discern with your heart, not your head. Please feel. We're moving into an age of much greater intuition where we need to feel into the energy of something and not just think into it. Because our mind can lead us astray. So 27th is going to be a very big day of February, as well as of January, actually. 28th of February, Mars comes to exactly conjunct that solar eclipse degree that we've just looked at 28 of Aquarius. So this is another ignition, another lighting the match of revolutionary energy, eruptive, impulsive. So, you know, watch your reactivity. Take a breath, step back, follow the incredibly beautiful peace march that the Buddhist monks are doing through America, through heaven knows what kind of weather. I think it's 2,300 miles they're walking for peace. I mean, wow. And they have such loving, beautiful energy. You can even feel it through the screen watching their progress and people just bursting into tears when they meet them on their journey. You know, what a shining example of what we're moving into. But yes, so Mars conjunct the solar eclipse degree on the 28th. Again, it could be power outages, cyber attacks, galactic connections. Remember that all of this Aquarian energy is very related to our galactic family. It's very interesting that at the seed point of the Uranus-Neptune cycle, and I've mentioned this before, Uranus and Neptune became conjunct last in 1993, and that's when Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project really kicked off. They are now in sextile. Uranus and Neptune are now in sextile, which is the next step in that whole theme. And absolutely, we are going to be having more galactic connections and, you know, wonderful sense of, yes, we're back with our galactic family. And that can happen just in dreams, in meditations. It could, you know, you start to kind of see out of the corner of your eye other beings from other star systems. You know, this could be really beautiful. And of course, some people are very able to do that. I mean, Dr. David Clements, who I speak to regularly, he's in touch with his galactic team and you know, can see them very, very easily or feel them very easily. We are going to expand our psychic sensitivity, but we do that by dropping into our hearts. So we are moving into a time, particularly with that Saturn-Neptune conjunction on the 20th, on the world axis of pure potential and infinite potential as we move into a much more multi-dimensional paradigm from now on, which is immensely exciting. And it's a remembrance. It isn't necessarily all new for us. We are dissolving the veil that blockage we've had for so many lifetimes. We are going to be able to remember the ancient wisdom, remember all of our gifts that we had way back in ancient Lemuria or, you know, some of those beautiful ancient civilizations. And so we are moving through a phase shift of energy. And as I say, just expect the turbulence and the chaos and the noise. Just expect it and just step back energetically decouple from it. it's one of the best pieces of advice I could suggest to you, because we need to be the anchor, the lighthouse, the stabilizer to keep the energy coherent. There's going to be 10 tons of incoherent, jazzed up reactive energy out there. Make your job staying in coherence. And I discovered who'd used the quote, "The way out is in." And it's that wonderful Zen master monk, Thich Nhat Hanh. He passed away, sadly, a year or so ago. Lots of consonants in his name, so it's very hard to pronounce. He said, "The way out is in," and it absolutely is. Whenever you feel overwhelmed, you're jazzed up, you're reactive, your breath is starting to become too high in the chest and too rapid, close your eyes. Just drop your breath into your heart, or even deeper into that yogic baby belly breath. Just slow it right down and just do it for a few minutes. Because when you come out of that, just note your different state of being before and after. Because this is all for free and every single one of us can do this. Because our state of being, I've said it so many times, our state of being is our absolutely top priority to keep coherence. That is what is birthing New Earth. And in New Earth, remember, is a frequency within us. It's not out there. It's not a place we go to. It's an embodiment. And we get to it. We get to that frequency by holding coherence, love, joy, bliss, gratitude, compassion. And I think it's very difficult if we are caught up in fear, because we're not going to be able to see it. Because, you know, people will say to me, "Well, show me New Earth. Where is it? Show me, give me the proof, give me the evidence." But it's invisible because we're creating it from the energy. Coherence is invisible. Love is invisible. Peace is invisible until we make it manifest in the world. And that's when it starts to become visible. And we are going to see a lot of manifestations of New Earth as we move through. But it will be quiet. It will be loving. It will be kind. It will be very gentle and compassionate and collaborative. So coherence is the key. And that's what will keep our stability as we move forwards. And remember, we're holding hands all over the world and we're connecting with our hearts every day, every evening in those meditations, at least. And remember that phrase that I came up with a while back, starve out the scary, love in the good. That could not be more important as we move into this firehorse year of tremendous dynamic energy, of exuberance, excitement, innovation, freedom, new discoveries. It's thrilling, but coherence and stability are the entry keys to that new paradigm. I hope this has made sense for you. I've covered a lot in this, and I may well do another video on this. I'll see how things are rolling in the world. A lot happening, but don't get distracted and diverted. Observe, come back to self. Come back to your inner world. That's what will get us through. God bless. And don't forget to set your new intention for yourself, for all, and for Gaia at this solar eclipse. Really important. Much love. Bye for now.
The voice within, your connection between this world and the next.
So now this is Lee Harris's prediction for February 2026.
But let's jump straight to it for this month, because there has been a lot going on. And firstly, hello from England, where it is raining, so I'm unable to be outside to record this. So we are possibly very appropriately, for the energy of January certainly, cocooned this month here in this space together. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, how are you doing out there? When I recorded the energy update for January, I shared a theme which was dramatic beginnings and manipulation energy in power systems and leadership. And as you receive this at some point in February, whenever you choose to tune in on this month, there will still be a, let's call it an emotional or an energetic hangover from everything that played out in the month of January on the world stage and also in certain countries around the world. Now, for some of you, none of this will have been a great surprise. You will have either seen the writing on the wall over recent years, or you are one who has for many decades heard of the prophecies of these times and what was supposed to be happening at this time. But as I've said before, even if you aren't as shocked as someone else might be as to what is playing out and taking place, it's still a shock and an impact for the nervous system. And when the collective is going through something together in a very focused and emotional way, it has an impact. There will be many subgroups right now who are saying, you know, this has been going on for us for years, or this has been going on in this country for years. So there is this collective communal rising around the awareness of the challenges, the manipulations, and the inequity in our systems worldwide, which is very much where we're at as a world and what the themes that we're going to be going through as a world are right now. I spoke in the annual energy update that we are increasingly coming into a time of people versus power, and we the people and the power systems going through reckonings. And certainly January was the beginning phases of what will be a very big reckoning this year. And I also spoke in the annual energy update about this rise of the need to use your voice and the need to speak up, the need to speak out, the need to speak against. So this is going to show up very differently for each of us. All of us are slightly different in our way of seeing things, slightly different on our path, but it is being forced on the planet. So there will be some of you who are, I'm here for this, I'm ready, I'm primed, I've been waiting. There will be others who are right now in the grief, the horror, the shock. And there might be some of you who are in the middle just trying to figure out what is going on as everything is so dizzying. So you might need a really big hug. You might need to scream in the woods or wherever you are. It's going to cause for all of us strong reactions that can seemingly come from nowhere. And this is normal given everything that's going on the planet. Even those of you who are quite insulated, or perhaps you're living a very quiet, focused life, you will feel the ripples coming through the walls of your house. So these are charged and electrical times. And I'm going to go through some themes for this month that might just play into some of the things that you're either already experiencing or that might be showing up. And for any of you who are new here, welcome. If you're watching on YouTube, please do subscribe to the channel. It's free, and it helps us with all of the content that we produce here for free. It helps us reach more people, so thank you. And please also let me know how you're doing in the comments. I will be reading. Okay, theme number one, nervous systems in need. Nervous systems in need. This theme relates to tending to the self as well as tending to others. In January, I spoke about the theme of the end of self-abandonment, and that this is going to be a year where self-abandonment is going to be very much in the faces of any of us who are still doing that in dramatic ways or ways that are harming ourselves. And self-abandonment looks like, you know, it's the classic phrase, isn't it? Put your own oxygen mask on before you put the oxygen mask on someone else. And it's a very easy tendency to abandon yourself and want to help others. It can feel good to help others. It can feel purposeful. And for many healers, parents, many women in the world will take on this role for people around them. And of course, there are also men who will do this, depending on your role, your position. So it's a universal theme, this idea of wanting to help others, wanting to give to others. But with everything going on the planet, what has become crucial is you knowing how to look after yourself. That regardless of what might go on any given day for you, or what might be going on in your personal life, or how you might be feeling impacted or devastated or horrified by anything going on in the world, you have to have some practices that you can come back to for yourself that will help you feel what we would call regulated. So these things can be very simple. It can be playing a piece of music that you like quietly. It can be sitting in silence with your eyes closed in the dark. It can be lighting a candle and praying to whatever spirit or God or is your faith, connecting with a universal higher power. But these are practices, and we do need to do them. Even if you're someone who is opposed to traditional practices, such as meditation, or there are all of these small things that we can do that just help us go, ah. It can be a hug with someone you love, a member of your family. It can be spending time with a beloved pet very consciously in a very focused way. Nature is always a great reset for me. Whether I can go to a local park if I'm traveling somewhere, or if you have a garden and you can go to the garden, being with anything that has a high vibration. So you're going to find this in nature. You're going to find this in animals. You're going to find this in music. You're going to find this in water. One of the things that I've always used is water to reset my nervous system. So we're all different, and there will be many different methods. And there are so many things you can find online for free too. You can do a search for how to reset my nervous system and see what comes up. We're all different. So if you're, for example, someone who is struggling with breath work right now, this might not be your time for breath work. So rather than beat your head against the wall with breath work while it isn't working for you in the way that you thought it might, try something else. And you never know, breath work might be perfect in 3 months. We have to be very careful as a society that we don't get caught up in the idea of there is a right way and I'm just doing it wrong. You may need more support to find things that are going to work for you. You may be going through a lot of trauma, which is making it more difficult for you to do anything complicated. So really give yourself some time this month to ask yourself, what are the things that calm me down? What are the things that make me feel like I can breathe, particularly on really difficult days or on days where you know you're under a lot of pressure? I found for myself that on those days or weeks or months where that might be my reality, provided I take a few sets of minutes each day, multiple times, just to breathe or come back to myself or close my eyes, I can start to reconnect with my own energy field. We all have an energy field. And we are connected through our soul to our energy field. But what tends to happen for many of us is we have lost connection with ourselves and we have become fully immersed in the outside world, the feelings or the needs of others. So I'm going to go back to the headline here. Nervous systems in need. Our nervous systems will be in need of us right now. And we might be a real caretaker for others around their nervous system. But especially if that's your truth, and if you yourself are feeling a little destabilized, it's going to be really important for you to take care of yourself. It hit me in January for a good 4 or 5 days, and then I spent a good 3, 4, 5 days really concentrating on making sure I was bringing myself back to center. So whatever it is that's going to work for you, that helps you breathe, helps you feel more like yourself again, helps you feel reset, it's going to be time for you to practice those things. And I always advise, write a list. It's very easy when you're spinning out to not know what to do. But if you created a list for yourself that has many different things on it, including things that are easy and quick, perhaps there are some things on there that cost money. But you also need things on there that don't cost money or time, so that if money or time is not available to you that day, then you can do something very quick to reset. So our nervous systems as a collective are in need right now, and tending to the self as well as others is going to be what's going to keep you strong and calibrated. Some of you, if you're having a big emotional reaction listening to me right now saying all of this, it might be that you've gone a really long time without supporting yourself. So there's a lot of emotion coming up. You know, there's been an abandonment for you of yourself. It's okay if you realize that. We don't need to spend days and weeks grieving the fact that this is where we have arrived. We can certainly grieve, but we can also take action and ask ourselves, okay, what do I need just to be able to keep myself steady at this very unsteady, unsettled time on the planet. It's going to be crucial, not just for your survival, but for your ability to thrive and your ability to be present and your ability to summon on much of the inner power that we're all going to need right now. Okay, theme number two, the tide turns as more people start to wake up. And this is going to be a theme that's going to run through February and March. It's going to be, there's a global conversation going on right now between more and more people. A lot of people in shock, a lot of people horrified, a lot of people questioning what's going on. And then others among you who may have been anticipating much of this, and you're a bit more steady or a bit more ready for it, you might be supporting those people. But the tide turns as more people start to wake up. This directly refers to what my guides were saying, which was by April of this year, we're going to see more of a, what's the word? They're saying uplift in terms of what we're currently experiencing. There was a message in the annual energy update, which was, we're going to see many things this year that in the immediate moment that they happen will look very, very bad. And you won't necessarily be able to see how these things are going to change in a more positive way or be curtailed. And that's going to be a big theme this year. There are going to be lots of moments where we go into shock and we wonder what's going to happen. And it will actually be because of our collective rising and speaking up out against, but also on behalf of, speaking on behalf of the marginalized, speaking on behalf of the groups who are currently being persecuted or forced in some way. Because what we know about those agendas is they are actually global. And even if they are just targeting subgroups right now, we all have to be very mindful of what is going on and in our own ways, find ways to bring a different energy. There is a different energy coming in and it's hitting the planet, higher consciousness, but it is disrupting a lot of the old. So equally, on a personal level, that can also hit us. You know, it's not at all a surprise that so many of us are rapidly transforming who we are, how we feel, how we see things, old stories leaving. I mean, it's very, very fast right now, the fastest I've ever seen it in my 33 years of being a student of self-growth and spirituality. So I know we're all feeling it. So the tide turns as more people start to wake up. Remember, compassion is going to be really needed for our fellow humans during this time. Compassion for self, yes, but compassion for those who are really impacted by this and going through what is really an early stage of awakening for them. Many of them will be in an early stage of waking up to see that the world isn't quite what they thought it was. Many of you will have already felt that for a while. You'll have seen things. So it's a very tender time, and it's a time that requires us looking out for each other where and when we can. You won't be the life raft for everyone. And there will be certain people you aren't meant to be the life raft for, and you will feel it when that dissonance is there. But there will be others that you are meant to be there for, and it won't always cost you a lot to give a little, offer some love, offer a word of support, and that can be enough to lift someone. So be vigilant to the needs of others right now, because it is a very tender time on Earth for so many, and they might not be speaking about it. They might not be used to speaking about it. So have as much compassion as you can and hold as much space as you can for seemingly strange behaviors in people. It's a normal reaction to what's going on. Okay. Generated division will continue to be exposed, and this will lead to a breakthrough by April. There is a lot of generated division. It isn't true. It's flames that are being fanned. And so we can come away from reading whatever source of information you're reading out there, questioning how divided is this world. The world is not as divided as we are being led to believe, I am told. Of course, you know, the bully always draws the most attention because they're loud, they're bombastic, and they throw their weight around in the room. So everyone notices the bullying energies, and it can lead to a distorted view of what's real. So generated division is where we are given manufactured stories, manufactured information to try and encourage us to attack and fight each other, which is not what we want to do in the coming decades. It's the opposite. In the coming decades, we're actually going to be coming together more. And as people coming together more, as we as a people have to work together. And there will be those in certain areas of leadership who will also be doing this and will be wanting to bring people together. So it's going to be a very choppy time, but watch out for generated division. Watch out when you are being asked to think badly of someone or something. It won't feel good to your body or your heart. And that's because it isn't an energy that's designed to promote good or unity. It's the opposite. And there is going to be more of a exposure around this too. By April, this is going to become a bit more known and seen by more people, which will help it. It will help it lose some of its power, or it won't be able to hold some of its power, is the message. Okay, theme number four. Feeling your feelings versus telling the stories. I think many of us can relate to times in our life. I know I certainly can, where, you know, I might have been better at telling the story of what was going on for me versus feeling the feelings that I needed to underneath the feeling, underneath the story. So whenever we are repetitively or obsessively telling a story to ourselves or to others, so either you're stuck in your own mind in loads of mind loops, or that's the story you keep telling others about what happened to you or what's happening to you. Ask yourself, am I feeling this enough? Because stories usually don't carry a great deal of feeling. They're usually our mind's way and our way of trying to get in touch with something inside us that we're just not feeling and that we're just not popping open. So at the moment, if you are finding yourself consumed by certain stories in your life, in the world, just put your hand on your heart and ask yourself, what do I need to feel about this? What do I need to feel about this story that I keep telling my friend or my partner or my teacher or myself? This thing that keeps going round and round my head all week. What is it I really need to feel that's underneath the story? Because the stories that we're in on this planet, Earth School, are always stories that are designed to get us to feel or experience something. So the sooner we can get down into the body and into the feelings, the better it will be. This is why there are many wonderful catalysts for this. It might be a friend speaking to you about something that brings up emotion for you. It might be you watch a certain film or television show that you like that brings a certain catharsis because it mirrors something that's going on in your life. Perhaps it's a piece of music or a song that does this for you. So anything that can help you feel your feelings right now is going to be really healthy for you, because we're living in a world where feelings are being denied, human feelings are being ignored, and there's a lot of stories out there that aren't true, that are designed to fracture us as a society. So the way you, if you like, create the opposite of this is you get very good at feeling your own feelings, knowing who and how you are, and that can be an incredibly galvanizing force against whatever is going on outside there and out in the world. Doesn't mean, of course, you won't have your moments, you won't have wobbly moments. We're not trying to fix ourselves in a permanent position of peace, but we are cultivating more of an awareness of the self, the body, the emotions, so that we can no longer be as hijacked or pulled off course by people, places, things outside us. So feeling your feelings versus telling the stories is going to be a superpower for you, and it will actually be easier for you to do this than ever before. Even if you're listening to me going, oh, don't know about that, Lee, don't know if I'm ready for those feelings, you'll be surprised. We're usually quite scared of what we will feel or how much we will feel. And the truth is, feelings, when they're allowed, move through us quite quickly. And then once we're through those feelings, we're lighter, we're usually brighter, and we're more open. The feelings can be clogging us up. And whenever you've got looping stories going on in your own mind, or you've got someone in your life who's going on and on about the same story, see if you can invite them to feel what it is that they're talking about. You might be very skilled at that, so it might be easy for you to do this. You might not feel you have the right words or you're the right person to do that. But perhaps as you're listening to them, rather than getting stuck up in your own mind trying to follow their story, just see if you can sit in your heart and feel your heart as you listen to them. They will feel the shift. They might not know what's going on, but they will feel that you have dropped into your heart in their presence, and that will either invite them to drop into their own heart, where they might have an emotional release, or they might not want to be in the heart space, in which case they'll go and find someone else who will play out the story with them, which might be exactly what they need. If they reject you, trust it. They're not wrong. They're saying that you're not the right person for me right now, and we all have to trust that. Okay. Theme number 5, matters of the heart and appreciation are becoming of prime importance. One of the positive flip sides of everything we're going through right now is that people are getting more connected to what's important to their heart and what do they appreciate about life, about themselves, about the people in their life, about what they are experiencing in their life. So appreciation and gratitude are quite interchangeable. So you could say matters of the heart and gratitude are going to be of prime importance in not just February, but in the months to come. And whenever you see such division energy playing out, or whenever you witness humans being so uncaring toward each other, it really does bring you into a place of appreciation of the part of you that cares and the people around you that also care. And the energies that we co-create when we all care for each other, it's very powerful. We create an energy net between ourselves as communities. And so you might be personally experiencing this, matters of the heart and gratitude or appreciation, becoming more a part of your daily life, more than you ever previously used to spend time thinking about or feeling. Or it might be that this month in February, something comes along that just kind of wakes you up a little bit to this energy. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, we know this to be true. People who are on their deathbeds, who know that they're going to die, they're either at the end of their life or they have a terminal disease and they're at the end of their life. Everything that matters to those people is not the stuff, not the things. It's always what mattered to their heart, the people that mattered to them, the things on earth that mattered to them. And we're in a phase of getting clear about what's really true and important, because so much of what used to hold us in place as a society is becoming more unstable, or is revealing itself to have not been so safe or stable all along. We just didn't see that so clearly until now. Okay. Theme number 6, the rise of counterculture. The rise of counterculture. So counterculture is anything that's different to the mainstream. So we're going to see more people, and this might be you too, moving into a state of elevated living as more people opt out of the old ways, opt out of the old ways of the system, but also create the new ones. So creating new ways for the system. It's very important. It's going to be very powerful over the next few years to see more and more examples of different ways of doing things. Yes, there are those who are tackling the mainstream system itself and they are calling for change or calling for action, but then there are whole other groups of people who that's not their fight. And instead, what they're doing is they're building a completely new way over here on the right. And I've said this quite a few times over the last year because it keeps coming to me through my guides that more and more of you are going to be more supported with what it is you're doing. Now, that doesn't mean everything, every idea you have is going to be flawlessly executed, because we all have learning curves. You know, and when you're a visionary and a builder, you often have to learn sometimes the hard way that just because you had a vision, it doesn't mean this is the time for you to put all of your chips behind it. Or you might not be the person to execute that vision right now, but you will in the future bring a different vision through. So as visionaries, you always have to walk that path of figuring out how and when to build something. When is the universe and my body and my life supporting me to bring this through? Well, the message is, if you're creating something that benefits humanity that is different to the norm and isn't so ambitious that it's radically different to what we're seeing, unless, of course, you have lots of time, money, support to bring that to life on Earth, which is what that would require right now, given how the current system operates, you're going to be very supported to bring this through. So more of you are going to be working harder, but more joyously than ever on bringing alternative things through. And we're going to see more of that, the rise of counterculture. And it's going to be very potent and it's going to be undeniably effective. The more people see these examples, the more actually the mainstream will start adopting some of them. So you might think you're pioneering something completely outside the mainstream right now. Don't be surprised if in 3, 4, or 5 years, the mainstream has borrowed a somewhat version of your idea and adopted it because it has seen it's popular with people. So that's what's important, creating what you feel to create and trusting that it will find its way. Theme number 7, intuition moving into the heart, making it clearer to see when fear is present, either in yourself or in others. So intuition moving into the heart, making it clearer to see when fear is present. You know, I'm an intuitive and I always say intuition is body-based. I'm not saying that there aren't different ways to have the clairs. You know, you might be a visual, you might be clairaudient, you might be clairsentient. But the body is so important. We aren't on Earth in human bodies to just live astrally. That's what we do when we leave. We're actually here to be the bridge between humanity and the soul and to see how much more higher consciousness we in this generation can bring, just as the next generation will then pick up the baton from us and carry on the work. So intuition moving into the heart, making it clearer to see when fear is present in others or in yourself. I did an interview with my friend, the brilliant Pam Gregory, earlier this month. That's also on Pam's YouTube channel, or if you go to my homepage on YouTube, you'll see it featured there at the top. And we were talking about this together. We were talking about it might be harder for you to be around people who are in a lot of fear right now. You might be compassionate to them, or they might be someone you're helping. But as you let go of fear as an energy template more and more, and you no longer believe it as a way of life, and as you do more of your own healing work, you no longer are carrying as much fear as you used to. Doesn't mean there aren't fearful moments. You know, there is a natural fear that occurs for us as humans that is healthy. You know, it's good to know when to run away for your safety at certain times. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about living with fear in your energy field and fear driving your thoughts and your decisions. And it's usually old traumas and old events that we haven't cleaned up or cleared up that are now running the future for us. So as the intuition moves into the heart on Earth, which it's doing, intuition is coming down deeper and deeper into people's bodies. As I've said over the last few years, more people are becoming more aware of their intuition. Well, now it's going deeper. So knowing when fear is present will become easier to spot and easier to see. The final theme is ascension symptoms this month. So there's a spotlight this month on out-of-body experiences while within your normal life. And the message I got for this is the old gravity no longer holds. So out-of-body experiences within your normal life. This might be, and many of you will have been experiencing this for years perhaps, but more and more people are now going to be walking into this experience where they literally will question, is this a holodeck? Is this real? Is this reality real? Am I even really here? I've heard many talk about the splitting of the worlds over the decades. I first heard that phrase, you know, a few decades back. The splitting of the worlds. The splitting of the worlds is not always literal. It can also be inside the self, that you are both present to earthly reality and observing. And this is when your awareness has grown and you're starting to see things from a wider, bigger perspective. So it can create a very out-of-body experience while within the moment. So this is going to be a big a big shift for so many, and more of you might be feeling a strange heightened sense of reality as you're going through life, and that's par for the course this month. So stay the course, look after your nervous system, be compassionate toward yourself and to others, and find things that give you a sense of purpose, even if just for a short amount of time each day, something you feel connected to in life. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and take good care of yourselves. Lots of love.
Affinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So what's happening at Affinity Spiritual Center? Well, this Saturday, Stace is beginning her beginner's tarot course. That's 10 till 2. And then on next Monday, the 9th, Amanda's doing Create and Connect. Now, are you at a loose end and longing to connect with others but just don't know where to go or who to connect with? Do you love creating or painting and drawing, or would you like to have a go at something new? No experience is necessary. Come and spend some time connecting, relaxing and creating with others, like with other like-minded people. You get a free drink included, inside a tea, coffee, tequino or a hot chocolate. And then you can also get a muffin or a gingerbread man from the coffee bar. And all the materials are supplied. So that's next Monday the 9th. And then on Wednesday the 11th, my introduction to spirit, we'll be talking about colours. Different colours and vibrations and stuff. So that's what's happening at Infinity. All the details are on infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I am Barry, it's been the Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May our God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.